So just a couple of quick things that will happen during the fast to your body. It's a time of consecration. Okay, that's what this fast is. It's a time of consecrating this season of our lives. We've all had that funnel hooked up to our throats and poured everything down it in the last couple of weeks you could possibly get in there. But this is a time of consecration, just setting it aside for him and him alone, where we shut off the televisions, we shut off all of the nonsense, all the distractions, all the noise. How many know the world is filled with noise? So this is our desire anyway. You know, we just take the time, we set it aside for we just read at night, just sitting there enjoying the word of God at night, nothing else. We don't plan on anything in the church for the next 2 weeks, you know, other than prayer. There's no other activities that happen because we don't want any distractions from what God has called us to do. The reason why we go into a fast, the Bible says that when you fast, it doesn't twist God's arm. It doesn't make you the most spiritual person in the room. When you fast, it's you making a conscious decision saying, I agree with the word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want him more than I want what he provides. I want to get to know him more than enjoy all that he has created. And so it's a time of pulling away. It's a time of consecration coming before him. And you know, and so many have said, well, I can't fast. I want you to know you can. Don't believe that lie. I can't tell you how many breakthroughs I've had during fasting. And I used to be petrified of it. I made excuses when I was hauling cars from 4 at night to 4 in the morning. Oh, I can't do it. I'm driving truck all night and unloading cars in the snow. And it was an excuse because I was scared, because I was weak in my flesh, because I didn't want to do it. So I looked for an excuse. You don't have an excuse. If you have a medical issue, see Kristen. Miss Kristen Updegrove or your doctor, because most of the stuff that you say you have that you can't, some of it can be corrected if you do. But talk to somebody. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from pressing into a season with your God to get what you've been crying out for as you hear his voice more clearly. Amen? Don't allow the enemy to rob you. You know, and I want you to know, if you've never fasted before, the first thing that'll happen on Monday, usually around noon, you'll get a headache because you're a bunch of caffeine fanatics. Yes, Mr. Burfine, you. Diane has like intravenous when he wakes up. She just plugs him in the morning, backpack. But you'll get a headache, right, Paul, the first time? Paul starts weaning himself from anything before the fast so that he doesn't get a headache on the first day of the fast. And he's working full time. Listen, you'll get a headache. It's okay. Drink a lot of water. Your body needs to detox. Okay, in the natural, but that's one of the side effects of it. Number two, your stomach will start to grumble. Some of you ate a Countryman breakfast this morning and it's grumbling already. But your stomach will start to, start to scream at you and you'll be like, oh, I better eat because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get nauseous. You will. And then you'll get over it. All right? If you're working outside, dress warm because you'll get cold. It's just that simple. Your body is not making heat the way that it did before when you were eating all of that food. So these are just some simple things, all right? If you're going to drink water, you know, I like to put just a little drop of lemon in mine or a little piece of a lemon in there just so it's not straight water. You're not breaking the rules. What? Sea salt is a great thing to put in there because your body needs salt, all right? So a little sea salt or Celtic salt, right? Put a little bit of that in the water just because it has a different taste. Listen, and if you get to a point you're like, I can't do this. We've all been there. Yes, you can. I want to encourage you, get into prayer. When you think you can't, get into the word and get back into prayer. Call, phone a friend. Somebody that has already fasted for a long period of time and they can tell you, you know, they'll encourage you. Stop being a sniveling little baby. But they'll encourage you to stay at it. They'll encourage you to press through. And this is what we want to do. We want to deny the flesh, because God's called us to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And I want his voice to be so clear in your head that the whole rest of the year you hear his voice. He leads you. He guides you and all that you accomplish through him. Amen? So you're not a slave to it. If you fast and then all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're taking care of your children, you throw a goldfish in your mouth, not on purpose. So, oh, oops. Well, I ate something. Might as well break the fast. This is what, I've done that in the past. It was right about here and all of a sudden you're fasting. Oh yeah, I forgot. If you do make a mistake, don't condemn yourself. Please. If you make a mistake or if you got to come off for one day and go back on, it's okay. It's not he who finishes 2 weeks wins. All right? This is about changing our lifestyles. So I just want to encourage you in that. And we're doing this because of his great love towards us. That's why we're doing this. Because I want more of him and less of me. Amen? Each one of us. You know, Pastor Jeff mentioned we're going to be reading through the book of Acts. And for those of you who will turn off your television, there's only 260 chapters in the whole New Testament. So all you have to do is read approximately 8.6 chapters a day. How easy is that? If you read a couple in the morning before you go to work, then you read another 5 or 6 in the evening, you'll read through the entire New Testament in 30 days. 30 days, the whole New Testament, you'll have it done. 8.6 chapters per day. Just do 9, all right? Throw in a couple of Proverbs when you run out. I just want to encourage you. The Word of God changes everything. Changes everything in your life, in your family, in your finances, in your work, in the workforce. Everything about your life starts to change when His Word overwhelms you. I can't tell you how much my life has changed from the beginning. One of the things that we need in the beginning of the year is a vision. Tell your neighbor, say, you need a vision. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. You know that? Because if you don't have a vision, by the end of this year, you'll be in the same place. I don't want to see you in the same place next year. At the end of the year, heaven forbid, nobody's sitting next to you. Heaven forbid, because that's doing the same thing I always do. We don't come to church to hang out with one another, sing a couple of songs, and I'm done for the year, or I'm done for the week. We come for the training and equipping so that when we leave here, we have an understanding of what an amazing Father we have and how those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have no hope. And then we become hope in people's lives. Amen? You are the hope of the whole world when you preach the Word of God, when you preach Jesus Christ as our hope. You're the one that brings hope into people's lives. And I want to encourage you, when you say the Word of God, it goes forth and accomplishes that which he sent it to do. Your words don't. His word does. But you need a vision. And Habakkuk 2 says you need to write that vision down and put it before your eyes every day. You know, the world always goes in the first of the year and they want to do their resolutions. I don't want to do resolutions. I don't ever follow them anyway. I think, is it this coming Friday? This coming Friday is Quitter's Day. Because that's when everybody quits the gym. First of the year, I'm joining the gym. The second Friday, they all quit. They call it Quitter's Day. That's how long people last on a resolution instead of a lifestyle. God wants to change our lifestyles. Amen? So he wants us to have a vision. God does not speak to you about where you're at. He speaks to you about where you're going. That's what vision does. He's speaking to you about where you're going. He already knows where you're at. He knows where you came from, but now he's speaking to you about where you are going because where you're going is far more important than where you're at. Can we all agree? Where you're going, where he wants to take you is much more important than where you're at right now. Maybe you messed up in 24 big time. Maybe it was a complete failure of a year. I don't know what happened in your life. Maybe there was a struggle in your marriage. Maybe there was a struggle in your finances. Maybe there was a struggle just in your thought process. Maybe you just couldn't get past the idea that you failed or that someone rejected you or something bad happened to you. That's what God doesn't want you staying there for this year. He wants us to pull out of there, but we're only going to do that with vision when we look at the Word of God. Because vision causes us to dive into the Word of God, see what the Word says about the situation that you struggled with this year, and bring victory in it. Why? Because Jeremiah 1:5 says, I know the plans that I have. He's trying to get us, each one of us, to another place this year. I don't want to be at the end of next year where I am. I want to be somewhere else. My cry is that we plant 2 more churches this coming year, this year. That's my prayer. And there's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. How hard is it to go sit in a diner and get somebody saved? It's not hard. Right, Miss Brenda? Right? Okay, I'm just making sure you're in agreement with me. I know the plans I have. Your plans have to change. My plans have to change. Genesis 12, Abraham acted on the word when he could not see. He had no idea where he was going. He didn't know, but God knew where he was taking him. God wasn't focused on where he was. He was focused on what Abraham was about to become, the father of many nations. God's interested in what he spoke over your life. Whether you are to preach the word of God, teach the word of God, sing the word of God, allow everybody and their brother to come to your house for dinner, because that gift of hospitality is beautiful. We were at a house, I think it was last week, and they have the gift of hospitality. We felt so welcomed at their house. We sat, we chatted. I'm not telling you who they are. You got to find them. Oh, I'm not giving you the easy way. Oh, yeah, hey, can I come over for dinner? I heard you got hospitality. Trying to get a free meal just because you hear it from the pulpit. Not for 2 weeks anyway. Genesis 37, Joseph had a dream. It was a little bit harder to implement. He had to go through some stuff, but God knew where he was taking Joseph. God had a vision for Joseph's life. Joseph thought he had the vision for his life too. He was a little bit off on his timing and maybe his attitude. Where's your attitude this morning? Is it a little bit off maybe? And God wants to work some things out in you. Judges 6:12, Gideon, he was a mighty man of valor. And what was he doing? Hiding. God wasn't interested in Gideon hiding, sitting there smashing the grapes with his feet. God was interested in him leading an army and delivering Israel. Amen? You're a deliverer because the Christ lives on the inside of you. That's who you are. Wherever you walk in, you bring deliverance with you. When we speak the word of God, deliverance flies out of each and every one of us, and it changes people's lives. But it's got to be his word. And you should have a big vision. Isaiah said in 6:1 that I see the Lord high and lifted up. It's got to be a big vision. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Tell your neighbor, say, I've got power in me. Tell your other neighbor, say, it's working in me. It's greater than things that you thought about yesterday. The vision that he has for your life this year, it's greater than the one you lived last year. How many people you influenced last year, he wants to magnify that and multiply that this year. He doesn't care where you were, what happened. He's not interested. Those days are gone. That last year is over. This is, someone said it, a new beginning today. Amen? It's a new beginning for you to believe that you're righteous. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm righteous.
I am righteous.
Tell your other neighbor, say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
See, sometimes we have to say it a few times before we start to believe it. Sometimes we got to constantly remind ourselves, I'm righteous. I have right standing with God. I've been washed and cleansed and made whole. Some people, they fight that all the time. Well, no, Pastor, I said it, but you don't know what I did. You're right, but I know what he did. And he did it for you. Therefore, I don't care what you did. I only want to proclaim what he did so that you can do what he said. That's it. Stop thinking about what you did. We're sick of hearing about what you did. And if I am, how much more is he? How much does it hurt God's heart when we come back and say, look what I did? He just says, look what I did. Yeah, I know, but isn't that how we live? We don't necessarily say that, but that's how we live. We say, look what I did, but I can't, but I. And God said, I am. And that's the end of it. His word is the final say over each one of our lives. You're righteous today because of the blood of Christ. For those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Turn over to Psalms chapter 62. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'd have had more time if them announcements didn't go so long. Stand-up comedy on two different sets. Help me, Jesus. Well, it's a new year, so another half an hour won't hurt. Psalm 62 and verse 1. We're going to read that whole chapter. David's writing, he said, my soul waits in silence for God only. That's what this next 2 weeks are. My soul waits in silence for God only. This is not about waiting in silence about a feeling. This is not about a feeling. This is not about an emotion. This is about pulling away and agreeing with what he says. He said, for he is my salvation, or from him is my salvation. That's the thought. When you're sitting in silence, you are my salvation. You've saved me, you washed me, you cleansed me, you made me whole, you called me your own. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I am who you say I am, and I can do what you said I could do. That's the only things that are allowed to come out of you all these next 2 weeks is what he said about you, not what you think, not what you said about you, not what anybody else has ever said about you, just his words. In verse 2, he said, he only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah, or think on these things. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is my God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And loving kindness or mercy, the King James says, is yours. O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. In that word, mercy, you know, I've just been chewing on this psalm for a little while. And that word mercy in the Hebrew is hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And it is another very, very pregnant word. It's such a powerful word in the Old Testament. And it means mercy, compassion, love, grace, and faithfulness. All of that relates to that one word, hesed. And this is what David understood. He said, loving kindness or your mercy is yours, O Lord. Power is yours, O Lord. Isn't that what he said in verse 11? I'm sorry. That power belongs to God. Why do we look to men? Why do we look to governments? Power belongs to God. Who changes the hearts of kings? God does. That's power. That's power. David said, God alone is my power. God alone is my strength. God alone is my salvation. That's all he was interested in. He wasn't getting distracted by all of the things that were happening against him. But none of these completely summarize the concept. Hesed is not merely an emotion or a feeling. It involves action on behalf of someone who is in need, right? It describes a sense of love and loyalty that inspires merciful and compassionate behavior toward another person. The mercy that God gives you is for someone else. He poured out his mercy upon you. How many here know that you have mercy poured out upon your life? Right? How many agree that his loving kindness is ever towards you? How many agree that his love towards you is everlasting? If you make your seat in the heavens or you make it in Sheol, his love is still there. Amen? No matter where you are, his love is everlasting. His mercy never stops. That's who you are. That's what you receive every morning. When you wake up in the morning, his mercy is what? Brand new. Brand new. How many in here are living on yesterday's mercy? Didn't get up and didn't acknowledge the King. Didn't get into the Word. Didn't get into prayer. Just living on yesterday's mercy. It was okay. I remember the day I got saved. I remember that day he poured out mercy upon me. I want you to know his is brand new and he's got something special for you every morning. He's got a word for you. He's got more freedom for you. He has got a love that you haven't tapped into yet. I don't know about you, but I've never, ever received the fullness of all that all God's love. I've received it, but I don't understand it. And I haven't walked in it because it's so beyond what I can comprehend. I don't know about you, but I'm limited in my love. I'm very limited. Without him, there's no love in you. Without him, I'm only in love with me. Isn't that how we lived our lives before Christ? We're all limited, and even coming into Christ, how many agree? Sometimes your love is limited because it depends on how someone responds to you. Why is it? It's thank God he doesn't think like that. Because what was our response to him? I don't need you. I got this. And yet his love kept coming. We cursed God, and his love kept coming. We ignored him, badmouthed him, mocked him. And his love kept coming. We got to understand the power of his love. Amen? Because the people around you, they need to experience his love, not yours. Chesed is found 250 times in the Old Testament. And it expresses an essential part of God's character. This is who God is. Many people have never experienced a love that happens every morning. Isn't that what we try to teach our children? Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe you were raised in a broken home. Probably, I don't know, what would you say the percentages of people in this room who came from a broken or dysfunctional home? 75%? 75%? What do you say, Mike? 80? Who give me 85? 85? Who give me 85? Sold! 85! I don't know exactly what it is because I haven't looked it up, but we've come from dysfunction junction, right? We've come from that. How many have worked on changing that in your house now? You know, every morning when my sons that are living with us, every morning when they wake up, they come out, we say good morning. We ask them how they slept. We tell them that we love them. And then their smotherer goes into action. She makes them a coffee. It's not wrong, she said. And it's true. It's not wrong. Why? Because that's the love of God. Why? She said, hey, would you like this? They say, yeah. Better than any coffee I'll buy. So she makes them a coffee as they're walking out the door going to school. Going to high school and you get a coffee on the way out the door. That's ridiculous. But it's the love of God. It's the love of God that compels her to say, I want to serve my sons while they're here. I want them to know that their mother loves them. I want them to know that I'm willing to go the extra mile and to give them not just what they need, which is a hug and a kiss and prayed over, but also a little something extra. right? Just a little something extra. That's the love of God. I don't know what your thoughts are of God, but every time, God always brings me a little something extra. Tell your neighbor, say, you're my little something extra. That's who you are. You are an extra splash of God's love in this house. When you walked in this morning, when you walked in, the whole house went, ah, another one that loves the way that God loves. Oh, another one that bowed its knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are that splash of love going above and beyond. Maybe you gave up your seat, Mona. She knows I love her. Sometimes she's a little territorial. Maybe you brought something in and sowed it into somebody's life. I want you to know, it's not about, see, my prayer is that when you walk into this house, you have a word that God has given you before you get here, because it's for the people that are here, right? Because if we all love the Lord and we know the word of God and we spend time in prayer, does God not speak to you? I know he speaks to me. So when he speaks to you, write it down, because usually it's for someone else, because you're not the only one going through that problem. I'm probably the only one that came out of being a drunk into the kingdom, right? Am I the only one? No. Yeah. Okay. Pretty much. All right. Many others struggled with it too, right? So it's easy for me when people come in and say, I got a problem with drinking. No problem. I know a God that can deliver. Because I'm living proof that he can deliver immediately, because his love comes in and splashes us and everything starts to change. One time, one man stood up there and said, if you will bow your knee to Jesus Christ, in Biloxi, Mississippi in 1987, he said, if you'll bow your knee to Christ, if you'll receive him as your king, God will set you free. Amen. And I thought, this is the craziest thing. Well, I don't know if he can do that. And he did it. One moment with the king, and I never drank again because he splashed his love all over me. I want you to know he's able. No matter what your situation is, he's able. I don't care how long you've been an addict. I don't care how long you've been drinking. I don't care how long you've been struggling with pornography. I don't care how long you've been struggling with poverty. I want you to know that a moment with the king, everything starts to change. One single moment with the king. Gosh, he's faithful. You know, that word has said that that faithfulness of God, that loving kindness of God, it motivates one person, the superior and more powerful party, to supply a critical need to the lesser or the weaker person. Isn't that what the body of Christ is supposed to be? Right? The reason why we press into prayer and into the word of God is because we hear about his love towards us. That he opened the throne room doors and he said, if you accept my son, come on in. Lay your head on my chest. I want you to hear my heartbeat. I want you to hear all the wonderful things that I want to say to you. I don't want you going anywhere else. Those gates are never closed for you. The windows of provision are never closed over your life. But I want you to come in, and I want you so close to me that you hear my heartbeat. Because in every heartbeat that you hear, you're going to hear my love towards you. You're going to hear my thoughts towards you. You're going to be in my presence, and nothing will, you will never lack anything in my presence. Never. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. I want you to know we're those that give, but it's the stronger one that takes care of the weaker one. See, when we live and we move and have our being in the love of God, that has said of God, that mercy of God, that grace of God, that everlasting love of God, then someone else's life gets changed. It's always the stronger takes care of the weaker. And that means those that walk in the light, as he is the light, they're the ones that go out into darkness and change people's lives. You're the strong ones. You're the strength on this planet. You're Christ incarnate on this earth. You're little Christs, amen? Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Remember when Jesus got baptized? Listen, next week, we got 17 getting baptized, or 14, 14 or 17 getting baptized next week. Yes. Listen, if you've never been baptized and you didn't make the class, come on up, Lan. You can play for about 15 minutes. But if you're here and you'd missed the class this morning, and you can still get baptized next week, I just want you to know. Look, because we want to obey the word of God. I know that when you obey the word of God, everything starts to change in your life. I know one act of obedience and the love of God starts to flood into your life in a way that you've never experienced before. I remember Pine Springs when I got water baptized. I come out of there and they said, all things have become made new. And I was like, all right, I'll agree with you. Because my thoughts weren't all new. That's a renewing of the mind. How often? Daily. Getting rid of me. Getting rid of you. I want you to know, I want to read that again. But that word, that mercy of God, it motivates one person, the superior, more powerful party, to supply a critical need to the lesser or weaker person. In this next year, because of the love of God in your life, others will be loved. Can we agree? You're going to find people to agree. I mean, to love. And even when they reject you, you're going to love them anyway. Why? Because you're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You're not looking for their love in return. You've got the love of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every morning, that mercy and that grace and that everlasting love, the overwhelming love of God pours into your house and into your heart. And therefore, no matter how many times they reject you, you love them anyway. Because you're not looking for something from those that are lost. You've already got everything you need right now from the King of Glory. Amen? That's who we are. So when we go into this fast, and you know, this kind of love, reminding of it in 1 Samuel, it was the love that Jonathan had for David. Do you remember that? He said, I love you as my own soul. How do you want to be loved? That's how we're going to love. How do you want to be loved? You want to be understood? Nobody understands you. Just throwing it out there. Nobody knows the crazy places your mind goes except God. I'm not here to try to understand you. I'm here to try to get you to understand him and his heart towards you. Amen? This is what we have to do. When you understand his heart towards you, then it's easy to love those that God sends your way. Your world changers. Stand up this morning. Oh, I had so much more. I think we're going to cancel announcements. Or maybe give them to people that are short-winded. I don't think there is any in this house. I want you to know, his everlasting love is towards you. Your yesterday has no power over your tomorrow. Your yesterday does not dictate your tomorrows. Your yesterday is gone. It's over. Stop trying to relive it. Do you remember all the time? Right? You always knew when an Italian guy hit middle age. The gold chain, the pinky ring, the Cadillac, right? That's what happened when we were growing up anyway, back in the 80s. Oh, yeah, them guys hit 45. All of a sudden, here come the pinky ring, the gold chain, the little tuft of hair. They start to unbutton their shirt, right? It wouldn't matter if I unbutton mine. I ain't got no chest hair. And then they got the nice, fancy car. Midlife crisis. There we go. Listen. As we walk out into this year, the 80s are over. Thank God. I want to bring back the big hair because I like that on my bride. But other than that, all right, some of the clothes are coming back, right? They're still using all the music from the 80s and all the movies because it was amazing. No, it was still demonic. But most of it was. Can I tell you, the 80s are gone, the 90s are gone, up to 2024, gone. Gone. Everything you did, gone. Every mistake you made, gone. Every lie you told, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every failure, gone. It's all gone. All things have been made new today. Today, you're a new creature. Today, you're the gift that God is sending out into the darkness. You're the light of the world. This is who you are. And there's people that need the love of God that flows out of you. You're the most powerful people on this planet. Listen, I think we're in the birthing pains of the end times. Nobody knows exactly the day or the hour, and I would never even venture to guess on that because that would be a lie. But when we look around, the world's at war. There's rumors of wars. Children dishonor their parents. That's happening. So many of the things that he said, hey, look at, these are the birthing pains of what's to come. You've got to know who you are so you can stand strong all the way through. Because a lot of them are going to walk away. Why? Because they don't know what the word says. You're here to learn the word of God so that when tough times come, when darkness and deep darkness, right? Darkness going to cover the earth and deep darkness, people. When that comes, you can stand there and say, oh my God, he's already delivered me. When you get ready to die, you can say, oh, I've already been judged by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I've already been judged and God has found me righteous. Already been found righteous because of Jesus Christ. The judgment is for the lost. It's for the world. Judgment is it comes into the house of God. Let me tell you something. You're playing games with God? Judgment will come. Why? Because he doesn't want you lost in your foolishness. Why do we get caught? Getting caught's a good thing. You find out how stupid you were. And then you find out God's love for you. That he doesn't let you go into deeper darkness. You get caught and then somebody comes. You know, we go to the jail all the time. I remember when we were here about 10 years. And then I was walking down. I used to pray. I still walk around and pray all the time. But it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm praying. And I come up to this one gentleman and, you know, the hood up and everything. And I said, hey, how you doing this morning? He just doesn't even look up. Just says, hey, Rev. I didn't know who he was. I couldn't tell. It's pitch black out. Got the hood down. His face is looking down. I said, you doing all right? Nope. Want me to pray for you? Not right now, Rev. I'm not doing good things. I said, well, that's why I want to pray for you. Because I know he who is good and causes us to do good things is more powerful than the lie that's in your head. And he allowed me to pray for him. And they're beautiful. One guy I was walking, he takes his bottle of booze and throws it just before I get there because he doesn't want me to. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're probably not up to any good. Mad Dog 2020 isn't going to send you to hell. You know what I mean? That's not going to change anything. Leave in your pocket. Let me pray for you anyway. Come on. But it's so beautiful because that's inside their heart. Right? Even at 2 o'clock in the morning, doing something wrong, but they know that you love them, you come walking in and they try to hide it. Keep loving them. Keep reaching out. Keep being a blessing. Keep showing the mercy of God, the grace of God, the everlasting love of God, the love that continues day after day. Keep splashing the world with the beauty of your King. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. One word has said, the everlasting love. It's your power that brings forgiveness And it's your mercy and compassionate behavior towards us that changes our lives. Lord, as your word says, come out from the midst and be separate. Don't even touch that which is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Father, we agree that two of the cornerstones of the Christian church are giving and forgiving. Today, Father, we thank you for forgiving us. And let us be those that give life, love, mercy, grace. Give our time, give our efforts, our finances, kindness, our whole lives. Lord, let it be encompassed in you. For as your word says, they gave not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Lord, let it be that we give unexpectedly. Let them not even know it's coming. Father, and we give in such an extraordinary way. We give away your loving kindness, your mercy, your compassion, your love, your grace, your faithfulness. We give out of our abundance of all that you have blessed us with. Lord, that we would live a consecrated life unto you so that as we give, lives are changed and you're glorified. Father, over this next 2 weeks, I pray that you would give each one strength to walk it out. Lord, help them to remind themselves to join us 6 to 7 in the morning, 6 to 7 at night. And say, you know what? I know that my God changes things. And he's about to change my life as I surrender more of it to him. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. I thank you, Father, for a new year for your sons and daughters. That's what your word said. You call them sons and daughters. You said, I am your father. Everything he was supposed to produce, I will. Whatever you lacked, I'll supply. Father, there's none like you. And we're so grateful that you don't lie and you don't change. Today, Father, we dedicate our lives to you. We say, Holy Spirit, we have ears to hear this morning. We'll listen and we'll obey your voice right now. Give us eyes to see in the spirit realm. Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't look at man as man does, but we would look at them as the Father does. Give us the eyes of the everlasting King, that we would see the brokenness, the hurting, that even sometimes that when they respond in anger, brutality, whatever it is, it's because of the hurt and the pain on the inside, acting out the foolishness that's been built into them. Father, let mercy expound in our lives. Let grace upon grace upon grace be produced through us. For we know you never run dry. You never stop. You have one plan from the beginning, a family. And Lord, I pray that we would be hungry for the rest of the family to come to know you. Yes. That our hearts would break for what breaks yours. Today, Father, knit our hearts together that we would love one another and love you. You first and foremost. And because we love you, we have an abundance of love to splash around the body of Christ. We have an abundance of love even when someone parks in our parking space. Even when someone takes my seat. Father, thank you for the love of God becoming mature in the house of God, that we give in such a way that you're glorified. You said, even when they steal from us, give him your cloak also. Let us hold nothing dear that's on this earth. Nothing that's materialistic, Lord. Let us never hold it close, for it's all temporal. And it has no purpose in eternity. Only for here. Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for my family that you have blessed us with. Thank you for changing our lives through the power of your word this morning. Let it be that we love one another as our own soul. Let it be that we love with the love of God. Open up our hearts, O God, and let us lay our head on your chest, that your words would flow out of us, that your love would flow, and that everyone around us, it gets another chance, and another chance, and another chance. This year, Father, our vision is to transform our city, our county, surrounding counties, plant churches, save lives. Everything else comes in second place, third and fourth. Let us study your word to show ourselves approved. Let us spend hours in prayer, falling in love with you, wanting to talk to you more than our best friend, so that you would be glorified in the way that we live. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.